I'm Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. We're going to talk about bad questions to ask. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. How much do you make? What's in your pension? Is your son adopted? What's she like in bed? There are questions it is unwise to ask, and we're going to explore what those are. Bruce Clements is here. It was his idea to look at this. So call and tell us about a time when you were asked an inappropriate question or join the club we're all members of on occasion, the ones asking the questions we shouldn't ask. What are the things you shouldn't say? We'll open the phones in a little bit. Bruce Clements is former board chair of the Children's Law Center in Hartford and a professor of literature at Eastern Connecticut State University. He writes young adult novels for Farrar Straus. Bruce, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Faith. And I'm so glad to hear your voice, because this morning at breakfast, I was thinking, I wonder how much Faith still owes on her mortgage. I really must call her and ask her that. And so here we are. I'm full of questions like that, and you
can't
call.
Wait.
I'm amazed.
Can't wait. Well, so, you know, we sound as if we're so perfect. So I want to start by saying, oh boy, have I done my share of this? So have you regretted asking a particular question?
Yes, I have, and it was embarrassing. And I'm sure I've asked lots of them, but when I was a new father, I was outside the nursery looking in at the various babies, and they were being held up, and there was a lady next to me who looked very pregnant, and so I, having looked at our son, I turned to her and said, when do you expect your baby? And she said, it's in there.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid.
Well, you know, this is a real, what a great way to start this, because there's a category of questions that where it's so obvious it is insane to ask that question. And then there's this category you're mentioning. You know, it's not as if you didn't have a reason to assume. And so here's one for you. I am in a salon and I'm having a pedicure and my nails are drying, and a woman sits down next to me and she has a prosthetic leg. And she had had her nails painted on both her natural leg and on the prosthetic leg so that they matched. And we got into this conversation, and it came out that she was furious that people would say to her, "Oh, I didn't realize, huh? Do you paint the prosthetic leg the same as your other leg?" And I said, "Well, why are you mad at that?" And she said, "Well, what do they think that I'm going to go around with one foot painted one way and another foot painted the other way?" And I said, "Listen, the fact of life is, I don't know anything about prosthetic legs." And I said, "So I'm learning right as we're sitting here." But I got it. You know, she's just tired of it. She's used up.
Oh, poor lady. And yet, I would have asked really the same question that she asked.
Yeah.
They think I would paint my artificial leg different from my inborn leg.
Right. Or not at all.
Or not at all, yes. Yep. Or not at all, right.
But isn't that a category? It's an interesting one in terms of it's almost nobody's fault.
Right. And there is, one has a natural curiosity, and when you ask a question, it makes certain assumptions. It is a compliment to be asked a question that the other person, the person who's asking you, assumes you know, and assumes on your part a readiness to enter into a conversation, to be part of the social world. Almost any question. I mean, there are obviously questions that are asked just out of anger. Maybe we'll talk about that. But the assumption of the most embarrassing question is that the person being asked is competent, knowledgeable, not embarrassed, and ready to be social.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking as a journalist about interviewing Scott Stossel, and I think he the title of his book is My Age of Anxiety, and he's spent 8 years researching this because he has profound anxiety, and he's the editor of The Atlantic and decided to come out about all this, and the anxieties are so jaw-dropping. And even though he wrote a book about it and says it out himself, I felt so uncomfortable asking him these questions because I was afraid, you know, as he admitted he was, that he was going to be turned into a freak show.
Well, and also I remember hearing that interview, and there is the fact that sometimes he is more vulnerable than at others. So I can imagine asking a question which a half hour before he could have dealt with, and suddenly it is shaking for him.
Yeah. So, Bruce, I went online to look at you know, what happens if I put in this question? Where does this send me if I Google it? What questions not to ask? And I was amazed at the number of sites. We've got a couple of sites posted right now on questions.
Really?
Yeah, questions not to ask at a job interview and questions not to ask of people who are very sick. So they're up there right now at WNPR.org, search programs for the Faith Middleton Show, and they're very interesting. So for the people searching for jobs, they said, do not ask, first of all, about salary and benefits, which, of course, are crucial to the applicant, but send a very bad signal. And the other thing that the job seeker is not supposed to do is ask a question that you could easily get the answer to on Google. And a third one, you must never say if you're applying for a job, at what point do you think I would, or is there an opportunity for me to go, you know, rise up the food chain? In other words, get out of your department as fast as possible, you know, because of my own ambition.
How long will it take me to be your boss?
But what about sick people? You know, I know you've been a minister, Bruce, a divorce mediator. What about sick people? Let's talk about that because we've all had some kind of illness, and people have asked questions that are enraging.
Well, you know, I ask a question that is not enraging, but nothing could be more banal in that context, and that is, how are you? I mean, this is the question that we're asked a million times by people who have already passed us before we've had a chance to answer. One of the things about that question is that it's routine, and that the person can, you know, fine-tune the answer. I'm fine, except I'm okay, but right now I'm... I think there's a whole category of questions that you ask others which open a door but don't force a guy to go through it.
So neutral. How are you allows that person to say anything about anything.
Yes.
You know, I'm sick of seeing a Law and Order, or, you know, the pain is unbelievable.
Yes, yes, yes. But then I do ask medical questions. Did the operation go well? Are you hurting? Has the staff been, you know, forthcoming? Are you happy with the signal you send? I mean, there are a few questions you can ask which are implicitly offers of help.
Well, so let me tell you what one person said online about this. One of the experts said in this article we have posted, and she herself has been battling cancer, and she said, please do not ask a very sick person how you can help. She said it forces, it kind of feels like it puts the burden on us
right.
to come up with things. So,
oh, that's so smart.
Yeah, so she said, just look at the situation, and if you think you've got a pretty good idea of what would help, say with confidence, why don't I do this? And then yeah. that sick person can say, oh, you know what, that's okay. Or, you sure? Or, I'd really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Right, right. You know, that somehow furthers that the notion that if you can ask a question which gives the person being asked maximum freedom to choose between hypocrisy and candor, then you really have done her or him a favor.
This is Bruce Clements, senior contributor of our show, an adventurer in the art of exploring what it is to be fully human. And this time, we're talking about questions not to ask, things not to say. And you can find interesting articles at our show website right now about what not to ask a sick person and what not to say in a job interview. It's at WNPR.org, search programs for the Faith Middleton Show. 203-776-9677 is our number here, and we'd love to hear from you if you have a story to tell about being on either end of this equation. 203-776-9677, meaning have you been asked something you consider inappropriate, or have you asked that question? Donna, Faith, and Bruce, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think my suggestion for what not to ask is along the lines of what your guest suggested as banal questions, including the starkly obvious, such as, where'd you get that red hair? Or, especially in my case, I have a very, very tall son, and there's not a day that probably goes by that he's not asked, how tall are you? How tall are you? And I said, tall people maybe should have to have a button. Then they would avoid this question that happens. You don't think about these things, but when you're kind of outside the norm, whether it's your bright red hair or your height or something like this, it's a lovely social, they're trying to break the ice socially, but for the person who gets this question literally all the time, it starts getting a bit old. So that was my comment.
So, so you have empathy for people who are trying to, you know, find something to talk about. But I would imagine after a while hearing the same thing over and over again, you can start to feel like a thing.
It's true. When I happened to hear somebody else even taller than he was say something about it would be nice not to be asked how tall she was every day. And so I said to my son, what do you think? He goes, yeah, that'd be nice. And so from then on, I never, because, you know, as a parent, when they're younger, you say, oh, he's so tall. And from then on, I stopped. And he's tall. That's obvious to everybody. No need to comment further on that.
Well, Donna, please pass this story on to your son and tell him that I'm one of those people who went up to someone, you know, started talking to someone at an airport, and this man was absurdly tall. I mean, so tall, it was almost shocking. And I said to him, I bet you've played basketball. And he said, no, in fact, I'm very uncoordinated, and, you know, indicated some embarrassment about that. And I thought, why would I do that? Why would I ask? Why would I say something like that?
Because it's kind of nice. I get it. And I said the same thing to my son. Do you know? I said, you know, you should have a button that says how tall you are. And his answer was, this will make you laugh, given that story. He said, no, what I need is a T-shirt that says, no, I don't play basketball.
So I'm in grand company.
I have a suggestion for red-headed people who are asked that question. If you have very bright red hair and somebody says, where did you get that red hair? Reach up to your head as if you were surprised that, is it red?
This time?
When did that
That's great. Hey, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Say hey to your son for me, and apologies.
I'll play it for him on your podcast.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks. All right, Bruce, stay where you are. We're going to take a short break and then talk more about the questions you should never ask. Stay with us. I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you listening. You can find out what we talk about on this show online anytime at WNPR.org, including articles that relate to our topic. They're pretty good, too. What not to say at a job interview if you're trying to get a job, and also what not to say to somebody sick. And right now, you can find delicious recipes for dinner, wine suggestions, cocktails, the whole works. Just click on programs at WNPR.org for the Faith Middleton Show. All right, senior contributor Bruce Clements is here. And Bruce, I know a man who was recently married, and he said, I think either just before or just after the ceremony, oh boy, I'm not going to be a divorced man anymore. The title. And he made me think about doctor's offices. And I thought, why do doctor's offices insist on a distinction between... I mean, they're asking you, are you divorced or are you not married? And I thought, what in the world could that, what would be the difference? What difference does it make? They want to know, are you with someone or not? I mean, why do they need to know whether you are divorced or not divorced? I can't understand it.
I can't either. Though I must say, until you said it, I it never occurred to me. But of course, I check that box every time I sign in to some new medical guru, and what is the point
of asking? Well, maybe a medical person will tell us, but anyway, let's take a call. Bruce, Jessica, Faith Middleton, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. This is such an interesting conversation. I just wanted to share, I've been married to a man for many, many years. And prior to that, I was in relationships with women for 12 years and in a long-term relationship, nine of those years. And I'm pretty open about my past, and I'm really comfortable with who I am. I don't have, a lot of secrets around it. But I have been shocked at how many people have asked, if it comes up somehow in conversation, people who are basically maybe strangers or coworkers, not
intimates, yeah,
close friends, yeah, mm-hmm. who have said, "Wow, are you still attracted to women?" I find it a pretty intimate question to pose to somebody in the locker room at the yoga studio.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then it's like, maybe if it's the first thing that pops into your mind. A good idea would be to just pause and ask if it's,
appropriate.
And I understand that that's it maybe feels like an invitation toward a more intimate conversation, but it's probably not. It's probably like you were just talking about with someone who's divorced. Yeah, I'm divorced. Oh, are you still attracted to your ex-wife? I mean, that wouldn't really be a... it's kind of akin to that.
Wow. That's astonishing. I believe it.
Well,
it's the same.
Here's the thing about this. Obviously we're all saying, that's wildly inappropriate, because they're certainly not, if you say you're married, they're not to a man, they're not going to be saying to you, and by the way, are you attracted to other men? No,
right.
That question doesn't come up. But it does come up because the conversation about gay people, as far as it has gone, I think is a young one. And, people are still learning about each other.
Absolutely. And it's lovely to be able to have conversations with people in an appropriate setting and at the right time. And, I think attraction is a fascinating topic.
Yeah. I know.
And I certainly understand the impulse. But
besides,
isn't necessarily the right context to the right relationship.
Oh, I know. And besides, don't you think, these sex topics should be left for the long car ride to New York City, the big long traffic jam, because it makes the time just fly by. Thank you.
Right. It's a very vulnerable, it's putting somebody in a pretty, kind of on the spot in a vulnerable position to ask them a question that,
yeah.
that
you know, about such an intimate part of their life.
Oh, I'm with you. That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I really appreciate your call. So it's so intriguing. Bruce, isn't that something? Is that a good one,
but,
huh?
You know, and I hope Jessica's still listening and will forgive me because this has nothing to do with her. But she does make me realize that we do invite questions. And I think one reason why some of us are less candid, less forthcoming on our own, is that we realize if we move into this topic, we are saying to the person opposite us, I'm ready to talk about this. And maybe one, you know, maybe one isn't. I can't think of an instance in which I've done that, but I think it's because I do it all the time, because I tend to be very as transparent as I can be, which is, I dare say, not that transparent. But I tend to be that way and to want to project being that way. And I think that that stance on my part does invite not only confessions and intimacies on the other side, but also questions about me. And I've got to be ready to answer them.
Yeah.
I can't then back off.
Yeah. I was just thinking about the position that Jessica is in because, you know, her life as described to me sounds completely normal. People are attracted to, you know, men and women. And so she wants to be open about her life and just matter of fact about it. But as you say, Bruce, it does invite a question. And I guess the best thing is to put your energy into what's the answer going to be. You know,
on the other hand, you do want to not necessarily to be confessional, but to be open about matters that concern you so that you can be talking about very serious, even intimate matters, and not be issuing an invitation to be asked questions, but simply to enter into a serious conversation.
Well, I wonder if Jessica could say, if someone says that, are you still attracted to women? You could say, oh, what an interesting topic. Why don't you begin? Are you attracted to other men or women besides your mate? You know, I mean, you start. Okay. Darcy, Faith Middleton with Bruce Clements. We're talking about questions not to ask.
Yes, I've got a really good one. This happens to me all the time. I'm a children's entertainer, and a huge part of what we do is we go to people's homes and we do face painting and balloon twisting for children's parties. We set up at fairs and do face painting, balloon twisting projects with kids, that sort of thing. And 9 times out of 10, I'll small talk with the parents as I'm entertaining the kids, and the parent will say, so what do you do for your real job?
Oh, God.
It's so insulting. Uh-huh. This is my real job. This is the life choice that I've made. And it's a huge gripe of so many children's entertainers in my field that people just can't see this as valid employment and a career choice.
Oh, yeah, I get that. I was thinking, let me see, is there a way to, if there is there a way to say this? I mean, who knows, you know, how would anyone know that this is a profession? You know, this is one of those things where we have such little exposure to these things. And then I think, well, isn't there a better way to say that? You know, is there a way to say, do you do just this? Or do you do other things in your life besides this? You know, it's such a vague and ridiculous question. But anyway, I I hear your pain.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Darcy.
It's one of those things that, you know, quite frankly, why does anyone need to know what I do when I'm not doing that anyway? I'm just a stranger they hired to entertain their children.
I'm sure it's because you are so fascinating at what you do, you know, possibly really good at what you do. And people are curious. I bet you're making people curious.
Possibly. But, you know, it is definitely one of those bugaboo things, like
yeah.
I said.
I get it. Thank you so much, Darcy. Go ahead, Bruce.
There are things that about which one is serious and which other people think of as marginal. I mean, the world is full of such things, I mean, I think, for example, though it's off our topic, religion is like that. You know, someone who is very serious about their religion, who then encounters someone who says, "Oh yeah, I loved going to church too. I love that singing," as if what you did was trivial, and that's treading on very, very sensitive ground. And what Darcy is feeling, I think, is that people are saying, "Well, what you do is trivial, and maybe even what you do is easy." And I would be tempted, if I were Darcy, to say, "No, actually, this requires a great deal of planning and thought, and it absorbs me entirely."
Oh, that's such a good answer, Bruce. Yeah, the more we're hearing these stories, the more I'm thinking, it's a lot of negative energy where does it get you to just keep being annoyed? Maybe the comeback is really the place to put the energy.
Right.
Where you're teaching somebody.
If you can devise a comeback, which is not just a zinger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But which, in fact, lets the other person know something that they didn't know. It destroys an assumption that they shouldn't have had. Then you've done them a service.
What about the person who asks a question of you about someone else? And the question is so inappropriate. There's a storyline going on in the television series Nashville right now, where there's a record producer and he has a singer who's this handsome, sort of macho, a male person, and he's suspecting that this young guy is gay, and he is, in fact. And so he goes to his best friend and says, "Well, is he gay? Tell me now. I need to know. I'm investing a lot of money in this guy." And the friend comes as close to lying as possible to protect him. And, you know, we see this going on in life all the time. People in the media who feel it's appropriate to out other gay people, as if certain questions are in the public square and that people don't have a right to privacy anymore.
Well, that is, we really are, we're a culture in which reticence has a much smaller value than it did. I was standing in front. I was at an eye clinic this morning, standing in front of one of a series of display cases, which were each one an advertisement for how great that eye clinic was. And there was a woman next to me, and I said to her, "You know, a long time ago, we would not have done that. We would not have advertised how splendid we are. It just simply was not done." And I wonder if there is a greater tendency now than there was some decades ago to boast, and in that way to either smother criticism or invite it.
Yeah, you know, this is such a good area, Bruce. We're in a kind of media culture now between online and everyday life, print, you know, where TV, radio, where people, there's so much of it. It's the pie has been sliced so thin that people get panicky about standing out. And so they resort to, you see this in, you know, football, basketball, boasting, people winning, shoving it down other people, you know, their opponents' faces. That would never have gone on. You know, I was raised to, if you won something, you were gracious to your opponent. You would never, not even your opponent, just you wouldn't even say too much about it. It would be unseemly, you know, just awful. And boy, has that changed. So,
you know, I wanted to ask you, as somebody who has been in the news business your whole life and who has such a deep interest in it, if you don't often listen to a correspondent asking a question and feel the question isn't sharp enough, the question isn't probing enough, the question isn't smart enough. And it's this correspondent who ought to be getting information is simply throwing softballs that the whoever is being interviewed can knock out of the park.
I do think that way because, like you, you know, critiquing certain things around you, I am analyzing sometimes, and I am making judgments about certain things. But I pretty much balance that out with the pressure that I know. I once, not so long ago, watched a national correspondent doing one of those softball questions or not following up at the end about a key point. And at first I thought, oh, how can you let that go? And then I thought, oh, I know how. You are under such pressure that you have this time slot. This is a live interview, and you're just doing the absolute best you can. Because I know that person doesn't want to fail, you know, wants to do the right thing and can't necessarily get to it in time or fears what will happen if the question is asked.
Well, I think is probably, not being acquainted with it as you are, that is probably key, that feeling that I'm risking myself.
Yeah, sometimes. All right, we're going to take a break. Bruce, stay with us because I want to ask you whether religious leaders and counselors, do they get a free pass? Can they ask anything? And what about depressed people, the things that get said to them? Because they're usually sick for a long time, and it can be hard for everybody. But what do you do with that? What questions do you ask? Stay with us. We'll be right back with more on questions you never should ask, or maybe sometimes you should. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR, FaithWNPR. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to you for listening and to our talented team, senior producer Lori Mack and producer Jonathan McNichol. Two authors, well-known Michael Cunningham and Colin McCann, will be speaking at the Sasha Writers Conference at Wesleyan University this weekend, and so you can go to their site for information about that. I have senior contributor Bruce Clements here, an adventurer in the art of exploring what it is to be fully human. This time, questions not to ask, things not to say. We have some articles about this posted at our website right now, WNPR.org. Bruce, what do you think, as we go to the phones again, at 203-776-9677, what do you think about religious leaders and counselors? Do they have a pass because your presence in front of them signaling some kind of trouble allows any question to be asked?
I think they do have a pass. And so, which puts a serious responsibility on them.
Can you just speak up a little bit, Bruce?
They do have a pass, and that puts a serious responsibility on them. Mm-hmm. As a clergyman, I was amazed as a boy of 27. With my first parish, at the readiness, willingness, eagerness of people to be frank with me. And I quickly learned that if I didn't want a straight answer, I had better not ask the question. So I felt that I had been given a pass, and that it was a privilege I needed not to abuse.
Hmm. And how, you know, I guess how do you do that as things are unfolding live? How does one's judgment work fast enough so that you say, I'm not going to follow up that. I am going to follow up this.
Yeah, I think that's a matter of instinct. But I think the dynamic of such a conversation is always acceptance. I'm not asking you this question because I want to nail you. I'm not asking you this question because I have some notion of what's right and what's wrong, and I want to put you in one category or the other. That my interest is not a gossipy one. It's not a prurient one, but I understand that these are serious matters, and I want to give you a chance to have this conversation and to not to resolve something necessarily, but to understand your own behavior and your motives and your possibilities more clearly.
Mm. All right, we're talking about things, questions you should rarely, if ever, ask. Marcia, Faith Middleton with Bruce Clements. Go ahead.
Hi, Faith.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
Bruce, I was one of your students back at Eastern. But I have a question, well, a response. Sometimes people say to you, how are you? And you begin to tell them, and they get this glazed look over their eyes. So my thing is, if you don't want to know the answer, don't ask.
Yeah.
So I just like, because when I ask someone a question, most times I really want to know what their response is. I really want to know about them. If they, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on a lot of, you know, nonsense, you know, responses and questions. If I'm asking you something, I really want to know what the answer is. So if you don't want to know, I know you're trying to maybe make conversation, but don't ask, because I don't want to see that glazed look that comes over your face.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think what happens if you respond or somebody says, are we just making conversation here, or do you really want to know?
Right.
You know? Interesting. Wow, Marcia, thanks so much for that category. That's a good one.
Okay,
thanks. Thanks for calling. Bruce, what about this this question of how sex was with another person? And I think, are you automatically against it? Or would you say, don't ask that unless the information is volunteered and put on the table?
Well, I just think that's a dreadful thing to ask. I think it's hard to imagine that the interest is not prurient. It's hard to imagine that you're asking the question in order to make suggestions for improvement. When you say it, I'm surprised that it is even a category of question.
I had a friend once say to me, when she was meeting a guy, and I don't know whether they'd been intimate or not, and later I saw her, it might have been the next day, and she said, you know, I think that's going to work out. And the implication being, the sex was pretty darn good, and I think this is going to be okay. And I remember kind of freezing and thinking, is she expecting me to keep talking about this, or should I just be silent and nod and say, yep, that's great? It was really awkward. I remember it so clearly.
Or what made her think I was asking that question?
No. You know, I mean, there was some reason where it could have come up. You know, was this thing going to go anywhere? And so she was signaling me, but it's there can be these spots where you're just not sure. I guess if I could think of it, you know, a staircase wit, if I could think of it fast enough, I would say, do you want me to ask more about that, you know?
Well, now that is interesting, Faith. And why should one not ask for permission to pursue something when you're uncertain? Do you want to talk about this? or not. I'm ready to, but I don't need to. That message, we have to figure out ways to get through, and maybe simply saying it is the way to get through.
Well, Bruce, I'm going to try and have that at the ready. So I'm hoping my brain right now is listening and is going to memorize this, because I can't tell you how often in my life I wish I had done the right thing. I wish I had played it a different way, come up with the exact right phrase for a given situation. But it's unfolding so fast, sometimes I just can't rise to the right occasion.
I'm sure
that doesn't happen to you.
Never, because I'm just not that sort.
Yeah, perfect.
That's right.
Actually, you are. Iris, Faith Middleton with Bruce Clements. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I'm a personal transformation coach, and I also founded and directed a nonprofit licensed adoption agency here in Connecticut for 30 years.
Oh, here we go.
And, yeah, I can tell you some pretty rude and insensitive questions that people have asked. Less than a year after my young husband's tragic death in a fire, a reporter was interviewing me for a story on my agency and our beginnings, and she said to me, "Well, are you and your kids pretty well over things by now? I should think so."
Wow.
That's pretty amazing to me. And the other thing.
Oh, well,
that,
I just want you to know I'm speechless over that one.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was as well. I felt like terminating the interview immediately on the spot.
Yeah, I can understand.
I don't remember what my response really was. It was a very long time ago, but yeah. It was very hard to believe. The other question that I have encountered as an adoptive parent, director of an adoption agency, and also I coach people in the adoption community, is, in the presence of your children, which one is your real child?
And, oh, gosh.
Yeah, and how much did you pay to adopt him?
Huh?
Holy smoke. Oh, you are moving.
Wow.
Very
yeah.
dangerous.
You've got a whole shelf dedicated to you, because this is amazing. I mean, just astounding questions.
They are indeed, and I really like the idea of asking permission. We who are professional coaches do that all the time. Before we get into some difficult topics, we do ask permission.
And I think do that. What's a way of asking permission?
Well, you can just do it very openly. I'd like to ask you a question that might be a little sensitive or difficult. How do you feel about that? May I do it? And, you know, whatever you're talking about, you can sort of phrase it in a relevant way. And, you know, people can decide what they want to speak about and don't want to speak about.
And do you ever say, and you can take a pass without offense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for calling. I really, and telling those stories.
Yeah,
I really.
Thanks for this
just,
show, all your other shows.
Oh, no, thanks. I just jaw-dropping to hear that that people would say those things
about
adopted kids. And oh, my God, I just can't even. I don't even know what to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, you take care.
Being asked permission probably makes it more likely that you will, in fact, talk about something that is very private. I can imagine our caller asking the question in such a way that reassured me that if I say yes, I will not be embarrassed, and whatever follows will be absolutely confidential.
Yeah, well, although you don't know what's coming, that's the tricky part. This is senior contributor Bruce Clements, who is talking with me. It was Bruce who had the idea for the show, and it's such a good one, I think. Questions you should never ask, things you should rarely say. And we have a couple articles about this, how to talk to people who are sick, and how to handle job interviews, questions you shouldn't ask there. And that's at our website, WNPR.org, and it's there right now. Bruce, what about when you should say something, even though there's a lot of pressure not to? So let's say you want to protect the real health and welfare of a minor. And at the same time, you want your children to have enough freedom so that they learn independence. And what you're contemplating is, in fact, an invasion of privacy. But you're so concerned about them. You know, this is one of those times when maybe you do ask something you shouldn't.
Or when you ask something you shouldn't, but is nevertheless necessary to ask. I think parents run into this with adolescent children just all the time, because the interest, the child, you know the child may be offended, you may know the child may not have the vocabulary or the cool to answer, and yet the question relates to their future. It has to do with their sexual behavior, it has to do with risks they're taking to their health, it has to do with skills they need to learn and have not yet learned. And you know, there is some way in which with children you never can get it right, but nevertheless the question, even if it isn't answered, needs to be put on the table. You know, this is something I'm concerned about. This matters to me. I would not be asking you this difficult question, difficult for me as well as you, if the stake were not very high.
Mm, that's a great way to put that. Martin, Faith Middleton with Bruce Clemens. Go ahead.
Hello, Faith.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
It's been a wonderful show. This is a great topic. I've got a couple of comments. First is on people with physical attributes. I have been blessed with very, very blue eyes, and I've been asked many, many times where I got my blue eyes, and as a geneticist, I think, well, the answer is kind of obvious, but that's not where I go. I take it as a matter of pride, because it allows me to talk about my family, about my parents, and about my seven brothers and sisters, their blue eyes, and all the great things that they are. So I would suggest to everybody else who's asked about their physical attributes, turn it around and take a look just how wonderful life is.
Uh-huh, an opportunity.
And the other thing I wanted to say was about the child entertainer, and I'm always curious about them too. I think they do fascinating jobs. The way, and I've always asked them, but the way to ask is not, what is your real job? Just, how did you get into this? What drove you to do this great thing? And it opens up to the other person whether or not this is their full-time job, this is really what they do, or is this something that they do on the side and they have some of, and it opens up great conversations.
Well, I'm nominating you as for the next diplomat position in the United States government. You're the best. Thank you so much, Martin.
Thank you, Faith.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Bruce.
You know, what Martin says is really sort of goes back to something we were talking about early in the show.
Yeah, 30 seconds, Bruce. Go ahead.
The opportunity that it presents.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Nicely done. Thank you, Bruce. As always, it's always a treat for me, you being on the show. And this show is about the richness of life, with Bruce Clements especially. Find the books, people, great recipes, value wines, articles, cocktails, everything up there right now at wnpr.org. Click on Programs. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.